studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Ravi Teja. Sri Ravi Teja, Senior Manager, Bhakta Sahayak Division of the Sri Sati Sai Sadhana Trust here in Prashanti Nilayam, joined Swami's College for BSc program in 1985 and later completed his post-graduation with an MBA. During his stay with Bhagwan as his student, he has had many personal interactions with Bhagwan and was a part of the Prashanti Bhajan group as a flute player. He has also had the great fortune of accompanying Bhagwan during many of his trips to Kodaikanal, Hatshi, Delhi, Mumbai, etc. In this talk that was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam, he recollects many of his personal experiences with Bhagwan and the lessons he learned therefrom. Stay tuned, dear listeners, interspersed and after the talk, we have some beautiful songs sung by Bhagwan students, and at 3:30 p.m. we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Sri Ravi Teja.
I offer my most humble salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Revered Swami, elders, brothers and sisters, Sairam to all of you. When Mr. Ratnakumar actually asked me to speak about any topic on Swami, to be precise, I wasn't very sure. Not sure primarily because not that we have not experienced Swami, but not sure because it's impossible for any one of us to really understand what Swami is. And so I was just trying to think, and I said, sir, give me one more date for me to come back to you as to what topic I should be talking about. And then nothing struck me, honestly, because it's just impossible, like I was just mentioning, it is impossible for any of us to really, you know, put Swami into the vocabulary, however eloquent you are. In fact, Mahanarayana Upanishad says, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha, which basically means that you try to explain God, you try to put, you know, you may have greatest, you know, vocabulary, and then you may speak very eloquently about Bhagwan, you will never be able to do justice. Because he is beyond your words, because he is beyond your mind. And so how can you really describe somebody or a concept which is beyond your imagination? So that's when, you know, I thought, no, this is not going to be possible. And then I was trying to think more, you know, you think of Lord Rama, in fact, Lord Rama, who has been there in Treta Yuga, he has shown the path of Dharma. He was known as Ramo Vigrahavan Dharma, he was known as the very embodiment of Dharma. And then he was an ideal son, he was an ideal father, ideal guru, ideal master, ideal king. But then, if you see today, you know, there are so many versions of Ramayana, so many hundreds of versions of Ramayana, and not even one version will do justice. And it is impossible, similarly, even to, you know, you take Lord Krishna for that matter. Lord Krishna, there are so many Bhagavatams, so many versions of Bhagavatams, and not one can do justice to completely describe what Lord Krishna is. Because there are so many leelas that he has performed, there is, you know, he is a king maker. And then he has shown that he is God, none other than God. And then come to Swami, Bhagwan Baba, each and every one of us here, and all over the world, Bhagwan has touched us. And then every devotee can literally write books. Those who have come in physical touch with him or those who have experienced his love can write books, volumes of books. I'm sure all of us can. So what does that mean? It's impossible. Impossible to really completely understand what Swami is, what God is. So the best way is, you know, instead of, you know, dwelling on how to describe Swami or how to conceptualize and then go into the Jnana Marga or, you know, any other Marga, I thought it's best for me to confine myself to really, you know, focus on what Swami has given me or how he has touched me in my life. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, what I'm going to do in the next 45 minutes or so. Swami really customizes. He converts himself. He adjusts himself so much to each and every one of us. You know, if you are a Muslim, you know, he talks to you about Muslim, you know, or a Christian, you know, he talks to you about Christianity and then appears like a Jesus to somebody, or a Hindu, or even within Hindu, you know, he appears like Lord Rama to someone, Lord Krishna to someone. To another, he is a very close friend, and then he talks to you like he's your own mother or father. There is a direct relationship that we all make with Swami. And we all do. We all do that. It comes quite naturally for us. And then, when it comes to Bhagwan, you know, he goes one step more. Mother can only understand what you can express. Mother can only understand, maybe, you know, because you have grown up in her womb and, you know, she has made you grow up. And so she can only, you know, understand to some extent as to what your requirement or what your needs are. But then, Bhagwan, who has given us this birth or many births, Bhagwan, who has actually given us so much, you know, he has seen us 7 births before and he's going to see us 7 births later. The very creator himself obviously knows much, much more than a mother. That's why Swami keeps saying, I'm 1,000 mothers, you know, I give you 1,000 mothers love and much more than 1,000 mothers. And so such a Bhagwan, initially, as I understand, in my own limited perspective, spirituality is one, you know, area where we all kind of grow in small steps. And then Swami too gives it to us, you know, gives the benefits or rewards to us in the same manner. What I'm trying to tell you is, initially, when we approach Swami, it's quite possible that we want to understand if He is really God. We want to test Swami. And then we start asking for small, small things. Swami, can you create a watch for me? Can you give me a fruit? What about chocolates? You know, like a small kid, you know. What about chocolates? Can you give me this? Can you give me a chain? Can you give me a ring? Can you give, you know, that kind of questions. And if He gives, if He creates vibhuti in front of us, and if He creates chain or watch, then we say, oh wow, great, awesome. And so that's exactly what He starts. I've come to give you what you want initially, so that ultimately, in of our lives, hopefully, we will be able to ask, rather we'll be able to deserve what He has come to give us. And that's where, you know, that's where He wants to take all of us to. So, talking about fruits and chocolates, I'm reminded of one particular experience that Bhagwan has granted to me. As Brother Rahul said, I was studying in Vrindavan initially after I joined my degree. This was way back in 1985. And I was seated there, and then in those days, we used to actually go into the boys of the campus from the hostel. We would form a line and then go into the Vrindavan campus, the main building area. And then we would all be seated in about 3 rows right in front of the main building of Vrindavan. So, and we would go and sit and wait for Bhagwan to come out, slowly open the door and come out of the building and then have His darshan. So after having darshan, you know, then Swami would say, hey boys, go now, go for your college. And so that's how the routine used to be whenever Swami came to Vrindavan. So we would quickly have darshan and then rush to the college from there and then go through our routine. So one particular morning, you know, I was sitting there in the lines. Swami very majestically opened the door, and like a glowing sun, as we all have experienced, you know, He came out, and then very blissfully we were all enjoying His wonderful darshan. And Swami glided through, came down the steps, and then slowly walked, and then slowly went behind us, behind, you know, the boys, you know, these 3 rows of boys that we were behind us, the VIPs, the elderly devotees would be standing. So Swami wanted to interact with one of those elderly devotees. So He went back and then He started talking to one of the elderly devotees there. I think it was Mr. S.N. Singh, you know, an elderly person. So Swami was talking to him. And so naturally when He went behind us and He was facing the elderly devotee, His back was towards us. And so we all turned and we were trying to have His darshan. In those days, there were, you know, a line of trees, small trees in Vrindavan, you know, in front of the main building. And those trees, I don't know what the name of those trees are, but, you know, they have very small leaves. You know, very beautiful, of course, it looks, but then very small leaves. So what happened was, one of the leaves, a dry leaf to be precise, you know, it just came off the tree and then slowly glided down. It was a beautiful sunny morning. Very slowly it came down and glided down and then fell on his hair. So I was looking at the whole thing, you know, I was just a flash of thought crossed my mind. Just a flash, you know, quickly I was thinking, oh wow, how lucky this leaf is. Just a flash of thought, and I didn't think any more after that. And then I was just enjoying darshan. Immediately, within less than 10 seconds or so, 10 or 15 seconds or so, Swami turned back immediately, stared into my eyes, and then, you know, even as he was staring, he walked close to me. He said, "It's not this leaf. It's not this. You are fortunate." And then he took out that leaf. It's impossible for anyone to even understand, you know, how he even reacts to this. It was just a flash of thought. And then even to feel, Swami has such a wonderful, wonderful hair, a halo. And then a small leaf resting on his hair, it's impossible, humanly impossible to even understand, even know that something fell. And then here is Bhagwan. He was responding to a thought which I had. No, I didn't even express it. A thought. And then he said, "You are fortunate." And then came to me, took out that leaf, and then threw it like that. Lo and behold, it was not just a leaf. It was actually a fig fruit that fell on my lap. You know, that's exactly what we are, brothers and sisters. We are really fortunate. Fortunate because we are the only lucky ones in this world to be born when Lord Himself has taken birth. Lord Himself has come down and then, you know, bless all of us. Really, really fortunate because compared to so many 7 billion of population all around the world, we are the fortunate few to have enjoyed His proximity, to have enjoyed His glory. There's one more experience that comes to my mind talking about these trinkets and, you know, small things, fruits. Especially, you know, there are some small children, they may enjoy this experience too. In 1986, Swami has inaugurated this Sai Shruti building in Kodaikanal. And I was one of the fortunate few to accompany Bhagwan as part of his entourage. And along with a few other students, you know, who, majority of them were Risa scholars. So, Swami has taken us and Bhagwan has inaugurated the building. And we stayed there hardly for about 5 days or so in Sai Shruti, Kodaikanal. One of those days, one particular day after giving morning darshan, you know, there was a lot of rush. There was a lot of rush even in those days. Of course, Bhagwan used to continuously visit Kodaikanal. But then to have a building of his own under the name of the trust, you know, that's when Bhagwan has inaugurated this. So, there were many devotees, and outside the campus, outside the building campus, you know, there were many, many vendors, you know, fruit vendors, hats, and you name it, you know, lots of things. And there were these rides, you know, horse rides and things like that for children to enjoy. It was like a big mela, you know. So, one particular day, Swami actually sent word through one of the elder VIPs, elder members, to call for a hat vendor, somebody who was selling hats outside. So promptly the devotee went outside the campus. This was just after the morning darshan. Swami had granted darshan to all the devotees and darshan session was over. We were all inside because we were part of the entourage. So we were staying inside the ashram, the building itself where Bhagwan was living too, in the Kodaikanal main building. So Swami actually sent word for this man, and this man came inside, but he was petrified. He was very, very scared. He didn't know why he was being called. He thought he's going to be thrown out of that place because he may have committed some mistake. He wasn't very sure. And he was extremely, extremely frightened. sir, I didn't do anything. He was shouting even. We could hear that. He was shouting, sir, I didn't do anything. I have not committed any mistake. I'm just selling my hats. I'm not a sinner. I'm not doing anything wrong here. He thought it was police, you know, who, because he's selling something on the road. You know, police have probably caught him, and then maybe Swami has complained to police or something like that. So he said, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. So he was crying and, you know, he was shouting at the top of his voice. Anyway, he came in. And then Swami first asked all of us, we were all inside the building, and Swami first asked all of us to go out. Boys, go out. So we all came out, and he was standing there with all his hats, you know, all that stuff, and then slowly Swami came out. As soon as seeing Swami, he started crying out very loudly, wallowing. And, you know, Swami, 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 he didn't say anything else, but he kept on crying very loudly. It was a very moving situation for even all of us. We were all quiet, you know, it was a very quiet morning. And then we were just watching what was happening. Then Swami actually motioned to one of the devotees and he said, go tell him that we are going to buy all his hats and it'll be for the boys. So then he called one of the elder members among the boys, among all of us, asking us to go there and choose what is best suited for each one of us. So we all went up to the hat vendor, and then when he heard that we are going to buy the hats from him, he was of course overjoyed. He was very, very happy. And then, so we started choosing. Swami stood there very patiently, very quietly for a very long time. You know, it took more than, I would say, maybe 20 minutes or so, even longer maybe, because we were all choosing. And then while everyone was enjoying it, Swami was also very equally, you know, Swami was saying, hey, this hat is not good for you, Ra. This is good for him. Oh, that fellow looks like a cowboy with this. You know, he kept making several comments. So then finally we chose whatever we wanted to. And then I'm sure many of you may have seen, you know, some of these photographs where boys were wearing these hats, sporting these hats, and Swami, you know, with a picture. And then slowly Swami was telling us, see, this fellow, this hat vendor, he was not getting his business for the past 1 week. And even after I came here, people were coming, thronging inside to have quick darshan and then go back homes, but then they were not able to give him business, and he's not been getting his business. And this is the only means. He's got 3 children. This is the only means that he has. And then when he's not able to make enough money, all the family members, including those 3 children, have been going, you know, have been starving, have not been having any food whatsoever. And he's been crying out to me in his heart to give him some business so that he can make his ends meet. And then here I am. Now, needless to say, after we completely, you know, emptied him, in the sense that we have actually taken all the hats, Swami ensured that in addition to the boys, even the elders have taken the hats. And then finally, it's needless to say that Swami has actually paid him the double of the amount, more than what he would expect or what he was going to sell them for. For him, there is nothing like, you know, somebody who's elderly, a VIP, who's sitting on the portico, or somebody who's, you know, only coming to him, a politician or a rich or whatever. Everyone is his child. Everything belongs to him. This is, after all, his creation, right? And talking about his creation, what really is important for all of us is to really focus on him, the creator, not the creation. In fact, during the same trip, I'd like to recollect, in Kodaikanal itself, Bhagwan actually started talking to us about this Bhagavatam, story of Lord Krishna. And then he went into some details and then started talking to us about Krishna's elder brother Balarama's wife. And so how Lord Brahma has created a chain with a big, huge pendant for her. And Swami quickly created it. Now, it was so dazzling. In fact, even in evening light, we were not able to really look at that, because it was dazzling, it was sparkling with, you know, beautiful, very, very beautiful, studded with diamonds, and, you know, it was like a huge, jhula, jhula kind of a thing in which there was a swan, and then, you know, it is extremely very, very nicely made pendant. And while we were admiring that, and Swami too was, look at this, he was showing it to all of us, and then it was in his hand, and then he was making all of us to see. And we were all glued to that, so much so that people literally forgot that it is Bhagavan who is actually showing us this creation. Swami too creates that Maya. He does that very deliberately. Oh my God, see how nice it is, so good. Chala bagundi, chala bagundi. And then Swami gets us to really, you know, forget him and then focus more on that. There were about 20 of us and everybody was only looking at this. Nobody was looking at Bhagwan. And that's when slowly Swami just closed it like this and pulled it off back to himself and said, see, all of you are glued to this creation. What about the creator? That is exactly what we all need to understand. We need to focus on the creator and not the creation. Like I said, spirituality is a journey. And so when we start asking for these trinkets and all these things, he, you know, through these small, small lessons, he makes us realize what we really need to ask for. It is him, you know, very small lessons he gives and then he makes us realize. And then slowly when we go beyond, and instead of asking for his, you know, trinkets, he starts giving himself to you. He gives that proximity, gives interviews, starts talking to you. Now, being a music boy, Swami used to call me flute boy. As I play the flute in the mandir, from 1985 onwards, Bhagwan has been saying, okay, you play this bhajan, you play that bhajan. Swami used to specifically ask me, you know, you play that Meera bhajan. Mere to Giridhar Gopal. A famous bhajan sung by Mrs. Vani Jairam. So, Swami used to enjoy listening to that. And then talking about flute, I just want to kind of make a quick remark. Swami said, you must become like a flute. There's no point in just playing the flute. You must become like a flute. A flute, if you all have seen it, there are two versions of Indian flute. One is the Indian classical. The Indian classical flute, you know, there's one called as Hindustani flute, which has six holes to play. And there's one blowing hole. And there is a South Indian classical flute, which has eight holes to play, the fingering, eight holes, and then one hole to blow. So eight plus one makes it nine holes. And nine holes for a flute represents the nine holes in a body, in a human body. We all have nine holes. And so Swami says it's akin to a human body. Now a flute, if you look at it, it has to be straight. It can't be bent. Otherwise, you know, you will not get the sound that you want. It has to be straight. Then there must not be any unclean objects inside. There must not be any dust or anything inside. Otherwise, you will not be able to get the sound. So, what does that mean to us? A nine-hole body being straight means, you know, you have to be straightforward. And then, not having dust means not have those bad qualities in us. The ego, primarily. And then, talking about ego, ahankar, Swami was saying, it is these Arishad Vargas, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryal. So these are the things that we should not have. And that's when, and Swami was very nicely saying this, that's when, you know, if the flute is good, then Lord Krishna, if he wants to play, he'll keep it close to his lips and play it. Which means you are physically close to him and then he's blowing through you. He's blowing his air through you when he's playing it. And if he's not using it, then he's actually putting it in his waistband, Lord Krishna. So either way, whether he's playing or not, you're always close to Swami. You're always close to God. That's exactly what he was trying to say. It is for us to decide to be straightforward and not have any ego. And then that's when we become like flute. And that's when Swami, Lord Krishna, Lord Sai Krishna will always keep us close to him. And that is how he used to give us these small, you know, lessons. And then through these lessons, you know, Swami would take us close, you know, give more interviews, give more chances to talk to him, and then so on. As he was doing that, you know, you actually start getting close to him, and then the day when he doesn't talk to you, you start crying out, oh my God, what did I do? Why didn't Swami talk to me? You start pining for Him. You start crying out. And you think, oh my God, why Swami, please talk to me. You know, I'm missing you. So that is the kind of relationship that develops. So it is from the strinklets to a much more physically, not physical, but then much more closer relationship mentally, and then you start feeling Him in your heart. And that's when He starts responding too.
Sundara Swami Ananda Pradayi Mandala Rasiyoi Madhura Mohana Ganashama Sundara Swami Ananda Pradayi Mandala Rasiyoi ಕಣ ಕಣ ಮುನ ನಿಂದಿಯುನ್ನ ಸದಯ ಹೃದಯ ಅಣುವಣು ಮುನ ಕಣ ಕಣ ಮುನ ನಿಂದಿಯುನ್ನ ಸದಯ ಹೃದಯ ಮಧುರ ಮೋಹನ ಘನ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಆನಂದ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿ ಮಾಂದಾಲ ರಾಸಿಯೋಯ್ ಜೀವ ಮೇಲ ದಿವ್ವ ಮೇಲ నిను కలవని నిను పిలవని జీవమేల జీవమేల మధుర మోహన ధర శ్యామ సుందర స్వామి ఆనంద ప్రదాయి మాందాలా రాసియోయ్
Listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
I'm reminded of one particular experience. This happened again, you know, when I was studying in Prashanthi Nilayam. In those days, during summer time, especially this time, you know, the hot summer time, not even March, of course, April, May, June, Swami normally used to go to Vrindavan first, you know, to Vrindavan, and subsequently go to Ooty or Kodaikanal. Regularly every year. So, whenever the summer comes, you know, he would ask all the boys to, all the students to go back home so that they can get to spend some time with their parents and kith and kin. And, but then there were a few of us who would always stay back with Swami. The reason is because the number of boys at that point of time would be very less, maybe 5, 10 or maybe at the most 15. So, when Bhagwan is coming and giving darshan, Swami's routine never changed. You know, whatever comes or whoever comes and goes, you know, Swami's routine was always there. You know, he was always there for the devotees. So, it never changed. He would give darshan. And then, so, we were only those 5, 10 paltry numbers, you know, sitting in front and having and enjoying his darshan. And what's more, if you're lucky, you can even get an interview. And those days, Swami would even call some of the boys to, you know, inside the interview room to actually pile up the saris to be given away to the devotees or dhotis to be given away and then pile them up in tens and, you know, stack them up and things like that. So, I would always, you know, want to enjoy those, obviously, anybody wants to. So, I never wanted to go home, never went home. But that particular year, Swami said, no, no, no. Your primary responsibility is to your parents. And so you must go, give them the happiness too, of being with them, spend time with them, and then serve them, because your food do, blood do, dud do, that's what Swami used to say, you know. The food is given by your parents. The blood that you are having in your body is given by your parents. Dud do in Kannada means, you know, money. Money is given by your parents. So naturally you have to be grateful to them. You have to pay the rent, pay rent. That's what Swami used to say. So, go. This is my order. I was not very happy with that command because I was going to lose his, not just his, you know, the chances, but also the proximity, the physical proximity. But nevertheless, I had to obey the order and so I went back. Those days my parents were staying in Hyderabad. And so I went to Hyderabad. Spent some time and then I was, like I just mentioned, you know, he gives himself so much to us, so, you know, even one day of not seeing him physically or not getting close to him physically, you know, you start feeling the absence. So I was actually having that kind of a very strong feeling. One particular evening I was missing him so much so that, you know, I didn't want to spend time with my family on that particular evening. I went up to the second floor, the terrace in my house, and then sat on an old couch and then started singing to myself. My mother was a very great classical singer, Carnatic classical singer, so he used to have a school, she used to have a school and teach all these Tyagaraja Kritis and all that, apart from the basics in music. And I happened to learn some of them as well. Now there's one particular Kriti, Kirtana of Saint Tyagaraja, that is very, very close to my heart. It goes like this, you know.
Nagumomu ganaleni nadali telisi nanubrovara.
శ్రీ రఘువరని నగుమోమో. Then that's how the song starts, which basically means Lord Saint Tyagaraja is singing, "Oh Lord Rama, what is the use of this life if I am unable to see your beautiful face, your smiling beautiful face, Nagumomu? And who else other than you can respond to my call?" And so that's how Lord Saint Tyagaraja goes. And then one of the stanzas, the second stanza to be precise, goes like this. Khagaraju niyanati vinivega chanaledo gagananiki ilaku bahuduram baninado jagamele paramatma yavarito moralidudu వగజూపకు తాళను నన్నేలు కోరా త్యాగరాజను తని నగుమోమో. వాట్ ఇట్ బేసికలీ మీన్స్ ఇస్ మేబీ యు నో ద గరుడా హూ యాక్చువల్లీ క్యారీస్ యూ ఓ లార్డ్ ప్రాబబ్లీ కంప్లైన్ దట్ యు నో ద డిస్టెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ వైకుంఠం అండ్ ఎర్త్ ఇస్ టూ మచ్ అండ్ దట్ హీ విల్ బీ టైర్డ్ సో దాట్స్ వై హీ డిడ్ బ్రింగ్ యూ డౌన్ టు మీ. Otherwise, O Lord, who else can I go to? Jagamele Paramatma, the Lord of the universe, who else can I go to? Please take care of me. You are the only resort. You know, that's how it goes. So I was singing this to myself and then unknowingly I fell asleep. That was just evening time, maybe about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening during summer. So I fell asleep. I was crying to myself and then a few tears probably rolled by as well. And then I had a very sweet dream, of course, in which Bhagwan came, and I still, you know, if I close my eyes, I can still recollect it. Swami came out of the interview room, walked straight up to me. There was nobody else in the portico, and then Swami said, "Come, chesko." So that means, you know, take Pad Namaskar. So I had wonderful Pad Namaskar. Now that's not the end of the story. I fell asleep and I had this sweet dream. Then my mother called me maybe for dinner or whatever. And then immediately I woke up, the routine went on, and I quickly forgot about that particular incident. And then the vacations got over, after which I came back to the campus. Again, on one of the days, those days, as I was mentioning, Swami used to call some of the students into the interview room to stack up these, you know, saris and dhotis to be given away. And so I got that chance. Swami said, "Hey, come," from the portico. So I went inside and then he said, "Okay, here are the piles of saris, you know, stack them up in 10. And then this is the variety, that is a different variety, that is a different variety." He was explaining the whole thing to me. It was all, I mean, I could never understand even now, you know, those varieties as such. And Swami said, "Okay, this particular variety, don't mix it with that and all that." I said, "Okay, Swami." And then I was trying to do the kind of work that he has given me. And then Swami was walking around between, you know, one room to the other. In fact, he's called a few more boys along with me. So they were also doing something similar. As we were doing this, Swami quickly walked up to me. There was a couple of others too, next to me in fact. He looked at me, stared into my eyes and he said, "When Jagamele Paramatma," in Telugu he said, "Jagamele Paramatma Nito Undaga Bhayam Enduku." Which basically means, you know, the phrase Jagamele Paramatma is the phrase that goes in Tyagaraja's Kriti, you know, the particular song that I just sang, right? So Swami was physically exactly referring to that phrase and he said, "Here is the Lord of the universe in front of you. What are you worried about? Why are you worried?" That is exactly the kind of experience he gives, you know. I have goosebumps even now when I'm actually recollecting that particular instant. That is Swami, you know, to really understand him at a physical level is just impossible. And he gives himself so much. I have another similar experience. 1985, Bhagwan's 60th birthday happened. It was a very, very gigantic, you know, wonderful celebration. For those who have seen, probably, you know, it is like Nabhuto Nabhavishyati, it has never happened and probably has never happened in, you know, after that as well. Prashanti Nilayam was abuzz with, you know, thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people. And then Swami was personally taking care of every event, everything from the security arrangements to food arrangements to Swami would go around Prashanthi Nilayam campus and then instruct people. He was looking into everything. This, in addition to 10 days of celebrations that have happened, Swami was actually having, you know, this yagyam being performed in the Poonachandra Hall. And then Swami also felicitated about 60 Brahmins. So it was a huge, very, very huge event, and that was the first time when Shanti Vedika, the Hillview Stadium, was opened actually. And I think, you know, the Hillview Stadium was not sufficient for the number of people, the crowd that have gathered at that point of time. Many lakhs of devotees have actually visited Prashanthi Nilayam at that point of time for those 10 days. Now, during that time, in addition to taking up all these responsibilities, Bhagavan has personally written a Telugu drama, a play. It's called Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna basically portrays love for the Lord, love of Radha for Lord Krishna. It's just that particular theme. And then, as part of that play, Swami made the boys of the university to perform this in the Hillview Stadium. And then Swami was personally guiding them. He has written it, not just writing the play, he has written the dialogues. He taught the boys personally as to how to deliver those dialogues. And then in addition to it, he was also looking into the makeup, what kind of makeup the boys must have. And then the choreography, there were a few dances performed by the boys in that particular play. And then the choreography was also something that Swami was looking into. Above all of that, Swami had written about 14 songs in that particular play. It was like a string of songs, you know, continuously in that particular play. And I still remember majority of those songs, you know, because I was part of that particular drama. I was playing the flute, of course, at the background. And Swami used to actually call these boys, especially the person who has performed the character of Radha, one Mr. S. Kumar, who is now in the US. And then our dear brother Ravi Kumar, all of us know him. Ravi Kumar was the main Gopika, assisting Radha. So Swami would call these two boys and then say, this is how you need to sing, and the expression in the voice, the presentation of a song. He would get into how Radha actually imagined Lord Krishna and go into the trance and then lose herself, her physical consciousness. And then Swami would sing that and tell us. So the boys would learn, you know, both Ravi Kumar brother and S. Kumar. They were singing, and so Bhagwan used to call me as well. He would say, oh, you are a flute player, so you should also know what is going on. It was a great opportunity. I didn't have a role to play, but then it was a great opportunity for me to just sit around and then press Swami's feet and then enjoy him, you know, teaching these Radha songs. So one of the songs goes, Daya Radhai Radha Pai Krishna, Dayale Dayi Radha Pai. She sings, oh Lord Krishna, don't you have compassion towards me? Why can't you come and take care of me? Na bratuke ni korakai, na paluke ni padhamai. My life is for you, oh Lord Krishna. Why are you not so compassionate? Why can't you think of me? Why can't you come and take care of me? That was the meaning of this particular song. And so I was singing this to myself. Now, the drama was over. Of course, it was a grand, great success. And Swami rewarded, you know, for the efforts that boys have put in. Although he was the one who was actually taking care of the whole thing with, you know, silver glasses and things like that. 60th birthday was a great, great celebration. Subsequently, in December, Swami came back to Vrindavan. In those days, I was studying in Vrindavan, my first year degree. And I was missing Bhagwan after this, and you know, I was singing this song to myself one evening. And the same song, Daya Radha, there are a few songs that I really love. For example, there is this song, you know, Niluvanida Leni Bratukuni Korakani Moyudana. Niluvadura na manasu neena gavulu duramaina kalalonaina kanulaku kanagarara కృష్ణ నిన్ను విడచి నే నిలువలేరా కానగరారా. ద సాంగ్ గోస్ ఆన్ బేసికలీ అగైన్ Radha is singing to Lord Krishna saying, oh, without you I cannot live, oh Lord. You are like the eyelid to me. Kanu papavu mataku pasi papavu manasuku ninnu vidachi aranimishamu niluvagalera Krishna kanagarara. Please appear before me, O Lord. I can't live even for a moment, a fraction of a moment, without your presence in front of me. That's how, you know, Lord, that's how Radha used to cry out for Lord Krishna. And so I was thinking of all these songs and was singing to myself, and then one particular evening, and then went back to my routine. Subsequently, Swami came to Vrindavan. And one morning, as I just mentioned, you know, boys would go have Bhagwan's darshan and then proceed to the college. So I was sitting there. I was fortunate to get the first line. I was sitting right in front. And even as Swami came out of the room, he was holding on to his robe, you know, as we all know, majestically he was walking, and very nicely, and very mischievous smile on his face. And he was saying, Dayaradhairadhapai. He was looking at me, literally, and then smiling. Big grin on his face, and very mischievously he was saying, Krishna Daya. He was shaking his head like that. Where is he? He's not just in a physical form sitting anywhere around. He's in us. He's in each and every one of us. He's inside our hearts. He's in us. That is something that we all need to realize, brothers and sisters. And if you start thinking, and if the thought gets to your head, if you start thinking that, oh, now Swami has actually given me all the grace that I asked for, now he's all mine, and start behaving the way you want, then he will also teach you the lessons. In fact, I've had a taste of that as well. Let me just give you one particular example. As I told you, Swami used to call me flute boy. And so I used to write letters to Bhagwan regularly and address myself as flute boy. In fact, I never mentioned my name. You know, you would sign off saying, with love, Ravi Teja, whatever. You want to say that, right? I mean, I would say, with love, flute boy. So Swami used to smile at it, and then, of course, he would say, flute boy, and then call me as flute boy as well. Very rarely he would call me with my name. So probably that got to my head. I would say, why probably? Yes, it got to my head. I'm being honest. And like I said, you know, 1986, Kodaikanal trip itself, when Swami had actually chosen only the research scholars, the entire group, the entourage, was only research scholars comprising of that particular, you know, group which went along with Bhagwan. And I was the only youngest kid among them, still doing my first degree. This is 1986, right? And so that got to my head, and I said, wow, how lucky I am, you know, to be able to go with Swami to Kodaikanal, my first trip ever, of course, to Kodaikanal with Swami. And then, you know, I went with these elderly people. See, only because, you know, I'm able to play flute, you know, Swami is taking me, you know, that kind of thought came into my mind. One of those 5 days, you know, we used to have regular sessions. You know, the routine in Kodaikanal is totally different. For those who probably are not aware, you literally wake up with Bhagwan and then spend the whole day with Bhagwan. I'm talking about physically. We get ready, and then you are out there sitting in front of Swami's room. And then the moment Swami opens the door, maybe around 6 o'clock or so, and then he says, boys, you're already awake. And by then we are all ready, you know, ready for his darshan. And then he says, okay, go. Have breakfast. I'm coming. So we will all rush out to the breakfast, the hall. And then Swami would walk behind and then stay there and then stand there, walk around the boys where the boys are seated, and subsequently ask for the food items to be served. And then he would monitor how it is being served, and because the boys used to take turn to serve, and then Swami would say, hey, sambar should not be served like this, you know, this is how you need to serve. And he would actually teach us, you know, you need to take that ladle and then, you know, fill up that particular ladle with sambar, touch the edge of that ladle to the edge of the bucket, you know, the steel bucket, and then slowly take it out, otherwise it will spill. Now, if you don't touch the edge, you know, there are very, very small things, you know. Swami gets down to such small details. I don't think my mother even taught me such things. And if you don't touch that, you know, like a ladle, if you don't touch that thing, you know, whatever is coming out of that ladle will obviously fall on the person who is sitting there or fall down. So if you touch it, then, you know, the whatever is the, you know, remaining of it, you know, it actually goes into the bucket and then, you know, it's easy for you to take it out and then serve. So that's how Swami would teach, you know, very small, simple lessons for the boys, you know. After all, life lessons start even, you know, from serving sambar, right? So that's how Swami used to teach. Now, one of those days, and then subsequently after breakfast, Swami would say, go out, sit, you know, in the bhajan group, start singing bhajans, I will come out for bhajan. And so Swami would also have breakfast. Breakfast for Swami was like maybe half idli or, you know, a glass of this watermelon juice. That's it. That was the breakfast for Bhagwan. And then he would come out and then give darshan, of course, give all the wonderful chances to the devotees. And then as he was giving darshan, we would be singing bhajans. And then once Swami takes aarti, then Swami would give, if he wants to give interviews to the devotees, Swami would give interviews, and then we will go back into our rooms and then wait for Bhagwan to come out. After the interview was over, Swami would say, okay, go out to this particular place, that sightseeing place, you know, here is Doddabetta, there is, you know, several places. And then Swami would send us around on sightseeing tours, you know, he would organize. And then we would pray, no, Swami, we don't want to go alone, please come along. And then Swami said, hey, if I come, you know, devotees will come around and you will not be able to enjoy sightseeing. You also have to enjoy the creation that God has made. And so go see the, and if possible, I'll try to come. Don't worry. I will not tell anybody, I'll come. So suddenly he would come, appear while we were, you know, enjoying those pillar rock mountains or something, or walking on the Coker's Walk. There's a walk, you know, there which you take and then enjoy the beauty of those mountains far apart. And so Swami would come by and quickly give darshan, and then before the devotees, all other crowd, you know, they start crowding around Bhagwan, he would quickly rush off away from the scene. And subsequently, you know, lunchtime, he would, you know, again have lunch with us. Boys take turn to serve lunch, and then afternoon he would say, go, nap time for all of you, like a hard task mother, you know. 2 hours you must sleep, and no disturbance, no talking. So we would all go, and that's when, you know, boys would rest or write their diaries and things like that, wait for Bhagwan, and maybe around again 4 o'clock Swami would come out, spend some time with us, you know, for about half an hour, 40 minutes or so. And then evening darshan subsequently, you know, about 1 hour of time, you know, he would ask us to, you know, if somebody had questions, or Swami would start talking about, you know, any topic of his choice. And then that's how it used to be, the routine. And many, many things, you know, he would tell us. So one particular such session where we were all seated in front of Swami, and then Swami was sitting on a chair, suddenly he picked up a flute-like instrument. Later I came to know that it is called as a recorder. I didn't know at that point of time that it is even called as a recorder. It's a Western instrument. It's played like flute, you know, but it's called recorder. Personally, I did not know how to play that instrument. Like I just said, you know, I was thinking until then, oh, here I am, a flute boy, you know, obviously I can play the songs and play for Bhagwan and make him happy with my flute. And here is Swami, he's giving me, hey, flute boy, take this. And he handed it over to me. He said, now play. Trust me, brothers and sisters, I didn't even know how to hold it, leave alone playing. I didn't even know how to hold it, because, you know, for a normal Indian bamboo flute, you play like this. Or if it is a fipple flute, you know, you play straight like this. I was unable to understand where to blow from, how to place my fingers, and how to get the sound. And I was turning it, tossing it around, turning around, and then some people were trying to suggest, maybe this is the hole for you to blow into. This is where you have to put your fingers. And Swami was watching all that with, you know, a lot of fun and happy. You know, he had a sweet smile on his face, and then I was wondering, Swami, what is this? I'm not able to even understand how to hold this flute. Here you are asking me. Then Swami was actually, you know, rushing me. He said, come, play. And I was just not able to, forget playing, I was not able to hold it properly. I didn't know where to blow it from and then how to blow and how to play. With great difficulty, I tried to blow something and then some sound came. It was more of a noise, not even a sound, a noise. I was, yeah, not good. He made a ugly face. He said, no, not good. Play some song. No. Forget the song. Then I said, that's when it struck to me, you know, you are not what you are if God is not with you. You are not what you are if He is not in you, if He is not prompting you from within. And it struck to me, and then I was almost in tears, and I said, Swami, please give me some time. I'll try to practice and come back to you. And that's when he understood. He immediately understood that, yes, I got the lesson. He said, manchidi, good boy, good boy. That good boy is not because I said I want to practice, but because I realized my mistake. I realized that, yes, I am not the one who is playing. Many times Swami actually mentioned this too. Majority of you may even know that in those days, there was a darshan music that was played from inside the mandir when Swami was giving darshan. And so sometimes, you know, the flute person, there was an elderly flute person from Pune, he's no more now, he was playing the flute. And I happened to be sitting outside and Swami was saying, where is the sound coming from? Inside. But where is the speaker? It is here next to you, outside. So the speaker is, you know, here and the flute sound is coming from inside, which means the sound is inside and it is coming out from the speaker. The sound which is inside. Inside is your God, you know, the God who is sitting in your heart, who is actually producing the sound, the music. And you're only a speaker, the body is only a speaker. You know, he's the one who is the source, and we all have to depend on that source. The moment the body starts thinking or the mind starts thinking that I am the one doing this, I am the flute boy who is actually performing for Swami, that is it. Then you are completely deluded. So that's how he gives you the lesson. And there was one other very simple but humorous lesson. Again, same Kodaikanal trip. Like I said, you know, that was the first time in Kodaikanal. And naturally, you know, not many arrangements were made for the boys. So we were about 20 of us, the boys. And we were given just, you know, a hall, a very small hall where we could actually dump our luggage and then sleep in another hall which is actually in front of Swami's room, Swami's bedroom, on the first floor of that particular Kodaikanal building. And so, one room, naturally we had just one bathroom as well, one toilet. And so, in order for us to be ready by 6 o'clock, all of us would take turn and then say, you know, start getting up, waking up from 2:30 by turns. And, you know, I would wake up, you know, have bath, get ready and then wake up another fellow. Hey, go, it's your turn, go. So we used to take that kind of a turn. So on one particular day, I was in a hurry, shaving, okay, and I cut myself in my hurry. And I didn't want, after I came out, you know, like I said, you know, Swami came out of the room and Swami went down. He said, boys, go for breakfast. And we were all going down the stairs for the breakfast. And that's when Swami spotted me holding my hanky like this, you know, covering my upper lip. You know, that's where I cut myself. And so I was holding it like that. And he said, hey, what happened to you? Emaindi? I was hesitant. I didn't want to show it to Swami. I was somehow avoiding him, but still he spotted me. He said, what happened? I said, Swami, I cut myself. Etla? How? I said, Swami, while shaving. Dunna pota, you don't even know how to shave. You are here asking for Brahma Jnana. Very simple, very, very simple way of telling us what we are here for. You want to learn Brahma Jnana, you want to get close to God, God who cannot be even imagined, but you don't even know how to shave, such a simple thing, you know, Swami is saying. It is a very light remark, but then has, you know, a lot of meaning if we start thinking about it. So dear brothers, it's for us to really understand that Swami is in us. Swami is the only one who is in us. Swami is the one who is operating. He is the doer. He is the one who is actually making us think. He's the one who's making us talk. He's the one who's making us do what we are doing. And so for us to really realize this, it is for us to really keep thinking, tell our minds and buddhi that, hey, mind, hey, buddhi, go back to the source which is inside. Because the Lord who is sitting inside is the one who is operating. The mind is not the one which is actually operating. The mind is not the one which is actually telling you what you are supposed to be doing. And go back, go to his source. I'd like to just end this talk with a small, wonderful poem that I just came across. A poem written by Professor Kasturi Garu in his book, Loving God. A very, very sweet poem. You know, it's very close to me as such. You know, I keep reading this to myself. It goes like this. Then why need we hurry and scurry from east to west and west to east, over hill and dale and sea and sand, in search of the lotus feet? They are here within reach of every longing hand. Did he not sing his first ever song, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam? Adore in thy mind the Guru's lotus feet. Let us install them in that inmost shrine. Hold on to those feet fast, never to leave until we merge in them. So, sirs, brothers and sisters, thank you very much for this opportunity for me to again think of Bhagwan and then to share my experiences, to be able to live those wonderful moments that I've had with Bhagwan. Thank you all. Sai Ram.
Thank you.
బహుమనుతే తనుతే తను సంకట పవన చలితమపి రేణు పవన చలితమపి రేణు ధీరసమీరే యమునా తీరే వసతి వనే వనమాలి గోపీ పీన పయోధర మర్ధర గోపీ పీన పయోధర మర్ధర సంచల కరయుగశాలి చంచల కరయుగశాలి ధీరసమీరే యమునా తీరే వసతి వనే వనమాలి ధీరసమీరే. సజల గాలిలో శ్యామ సుందరుని మోహన మురళి శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి మురళి శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి చల్లగాలిలో యమునా తటిపై శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి మురళి శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి ఉల్లము కొల్లగనే మధుగీతులు ఉల్లము కొల్లగనే మధుగీతులు మెల్ల మెల్ల చెవి సోకునవే మెల్ల మెల్ల చెవి సోకునవే చల్లగాలిలో పత్రములపై తేలి తేలి పడు అడుగులవే తూణిరాలు పట పత్రములపై తేలి తేలి పడు అడుగులవే పూల దీవ పొదరిల్లు మాటుగా పూల దీవ పొదరిల్లు మాటుగా చూచు సికి పించమదే ఉంచి చూచు సికి పించమదే చల్లగాలిలో తరువు తరువు కడ దాగి దాగి నందరయు చన్ను గవ మురుపులవే తరువు తరువు కడ దాగి దాగి నందరయు చన్ను గవ మురుపులవే మురిసి మురిసి నా వెనుక కరిసి కనుమూయు చివురు చెంగేలులివే, మూయు చివురు చెంగేలులివే. చల్లగాలిలో యమునా తటిపై శ్యామసుందరుని మురళి మురళి, శ్యామసుందరుని మురళి. చల్లగాలిలో యమునా తటిపై శ్యామసుందరుని మురళి మురళి, శ్యామసుందరుని మురళి. చల్లగాలిలో మనిషిని మాధవుని జయ మదినే స్వర్గముగా మార్చ మాధవుడే అవతరించ సత్య సాయి భగవానుగ. ఎంత ప్రేమయో స్వామికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో, సత్య సాయి భగవానుకి ఎంత ప్రేమయో. మనిషిని మాధవుని జయ మదినే స్వర్గముగా మార్చ మాధవుడే అవతరించ సత్య సాయి భగవానుగ. ఎంత ప్రేమయో స్వామికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో, సత్య సాయి భగవానుకి ఎంత ప్రేమయో. ఈశ్వరాంబ ముద్దు బిడ్డడై నడయాడే శ్రీనివాసుడై, ఈశ్వరాంబ ముద్దు బిడ్డడై నడయాడే శ్రీనివాసుడై. ఈశ్వరుడే అవతరించ ఈ పవిత్ర భారతాన. ఎంత పుణ్యమో మనదెంత పుణ్యమో, సత్య సాయి దర్శింప జన్మ ధన్యమో. మనిషిని మాధవుని జయ మదినే స్వర్గముగా మార్చ మాధవుడే అవతరించ సత్య సాయి భగవానుగ. ఎంత ప్రేమయో స్వామికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో, సత్య సాయి భగవానుకి ఎంత ప్రేమయో. మతం పేర కులం పేర మత్సరాలు తగదనుచు మానవతను బోధించి ప్రేమ మతను స్థాపించ. మతం పేర కులం పేర మత్సరాలు తగదంతు మానవతను బోధించి ప్రేమ మతము స్థాపించ. సంభవామి యుగే యుగే అని చాటిన రీతిగా, సంభవామి యుగే యుగే అని చాటిన రీతిగా అవతరించెను ఆర్త జనుల ఆదుకొనగా. సన్నిధి మాకు పెన్నిధి, నీదు సన్నిధి మాకు పెన్నిధి, నీదు ప్రేమే మాకు ప్రాణము. నీదు సన్నిధి మాకు పెన్నిధి, నీదు ప్రేమే మాకు ప్రాణము. తల్లి నీవే తండ్రి నీవే, తల్లి నీవే తండ్రి నీవే, దాతవు మా భ్రాత నీవే, సాయి దేవా సర్వం నీవే. మనిషిని మాధవుని జయ మదినే స్వర్గముగ మాచ మాధవుడే అవతరించ సత్య సాయి భగవాను ఎంత ప్రేమయో స్వామికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో సత్య సాయి భగవానికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో ఎంత ప్రేమయో స్వామికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో సత్య సాయి భగవానికి ఎంత ప్రేమయో సత్య సాయి
ధర్మంబు గిరిగీసి నిలుపుతాడురా మునులందరినీ గా చేయొచ్చు మనగాడురా, ముందుగా చేయెత్తి మొక్కుదామురా. రామన్న రాముడు, కోదండ రాముడు, శ్రీరామచంద్రుడు వచ్చాడురా, సీతమ్మ కలితో వచ్చాడురా. రామన్న రాముడు, కోదండ రాముడు,